We have had, if my memory serves me right, about 3 lessons in this series. I think this will be the 4th lesson. And we are dealing with what has the scriptures, what has the Bible reveal about itself? What does the Bible say about itself? Today, we look on one of the claims which the Word of God, the Bible, makes of itself. And that claim is the Bible tells us that it is indestructible. That is one of the claims that the Bible makes of itself. That it is indestructible. In fact, along there, the Bible claims that it is perpetual. The Bible claims that it is everlasting. The Bible claims that it is forever. I use these as synonyms of it being indestructible. That is, that it is indestructible means that it is perpetual. It has no end. That it is indestructible means that it is forever. That it is indestructible means that it lasts beyond time. That is one of the claims that the Bible makes. May I? It is rightly said that the chief goal, objective of all the great and dreadful persecution against the Jews throughout the ages, behind all those persecutions, many of us are well aware of Hitler, who killed at least 6 million Jews. That's just one of the area. But behind all these destruction, trying to destroy the Jews, was an effort to destroy the book that guide their religion. That was one of the personal vendetta that the Jews had against them, the Bible. For them, of course, it was the Old Testament. Infidels, men and women who not only that they did not believe in the Almighty God, they were aggressive against His Word, His book. Infidels, we call them. They have from time to time and throughout the ages spent their time, their strength, their talent, their resources, trying to destroy and silence the Bible. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters? The Bible keeps rising up like the sun in the morning. All the effort throughout the ages, which men and women have made, exhausting their talent, exhausting their strength, exhausting their financial resources to silence the Bible. But the Bible would not be silent. You know why? Because it is indestructible. Voltaire, the famous French infidel, well known. If you have an encyclopedia home, when you go home, look up Voltaire. He was an infidel, a man who did not believe in God. But wait, Voltaire did not only claim to be an atheist, he was aggressive with his atheism. It's like he hates God. He died in 1778. And while he was alive, he said that in 100 years after his time, Christianity and the Bible would be swept from existence and pass into history. That's what this famous French infidel said, that 100 years from his time, the Bible would be forgotten, and it and Christianity would swept into history. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, in 1804, that is just about 25 years after Voltaire, in 1804, as I've said, 25 years after his death, the British Bible Society was founded. But watch here. And up to, that is 25 years after Voltaire, the British Bible Society was founded. And up to 1989, the British Bible Society published 198 505,000 and some mash. That is 25 years after Voltaire. This French infidel claimed that 100 years after his death, the Bible and Christianity would be swept away from man's memory and it would be just a historical thing. Here you have, 25 years after, the British Bible Society was founded. And up to the time I said here, 198,505,000 copies of the Bible was printed. Are we all there? But watch here now. The very printing press that Voltaire used to print is infidelic literature, the very printing equipment that he print his literature against the Bible on, that printing press was used for dozens of years to print the Bible. But yet we don't finish there. The house in which Voltaire lived. Are we all there? That house was used for many years to stock or to store the Bibles printed by the Geneva Bible Society. That is the Bible Society that was in Geneva. Voltaire House. When they print thousands of Bibles, it was Voltaire House, the house that he used to live in, that was used as the storing place before those Bibles were shipped out to the different places. This is the man who said, 100 years after his time, the Bible would be swept away, the Bible and Christianity. Are we all there? You know, somebody run for me, with me to, I could read it from Isaiah, but let us read it from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through 25. Let us hear that passage, because it is quite suitable here.
Being born again.
You're born again.
Not of corruptible seed.
Not of corruptible seed.
But of incorruptible seed.
But of incorruptible.
By the word of God.
By the word of God.
Which liveth and abideth forever.
The word of God, it lives.
And abideth forever.
And it abide forever. Read, brother.
For all flesh is
all
as...
All flesh is include as, human flesh.
Is as grass.
We are like grass.
And all the glory of
wait,
man.
Wait, brother. Voltaire flesh was like grass. That's right. And all what?
All the glory of man.
Wait, all the things that we cherish. All the things of material nature that we are so willing to give our lives for, or work ourselves to death for, what about them?
As the flower
they
of grass.
They are like the flower. Wait, wait, wait. Flowers are beautiful things. Huh? I drive past here, and the flower that you all plant around the office, yeah, I was, they catch my eye, and I said, they are really beautiful. And they bloom all the time. But you know what? Flower bloom, and they go down.
Amen.
What it says there about flower, brother?
The grass withereth.
The grass withereth.
And the flower.
And the flower.
Thereof falleth away.
They falleth away.
But the word of the Lord endureth forever.
I wish, brother, that Voltaire understood this. Amen. That God's word, the Bible, is forever.
Amen.
That's the claim that the Bible makes.
Amen.
God's truth as vested in his word.
Amen.
Has no time limit on it. Amen. Voltaire didn't know that. Are we all there?
Amen.
Keep in mind that, well, in fact, brother, I think you are reading verse 24.
Verse 25.
It finished?
No.
That's what my mind tells me, that there's something left there.
And this is the word.
And this is the word. Wait, 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 wait. You get the point here? Peter was explaining to the Christian the timelessness of the word. Mm-hmm. And while the Bible is timeless, it is also timely. Mm-hmm. Peter was explaining the everlastingness of the word. Peter was explaining the perpetualness of the word. Peter was explaining the indestructibility of the word. Then watch here now. Peter catch up. And wonder, I wonder if they understand what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So he's going to let them understand what the word is. Amen. Read, brother.
And this is the word.
This is the word. Peter is saying, this is what I'm talking about.
Which by the gospel is preached unto you.
Peter is saying the same simple gospel that was preached to bring you to Christ, that is being preached to help you to be a better person in God's sight. That is the word that will never pass away. Voltaire didn't know this. If he could have seen what's going on here when he saw that his printing press was used to print the Bible, that his very house was used to store the Bible, he would jump out of his grave and come back and give his life to Christ. As I said, the Bible is a timely and timeless and a timeless book for all ages. Are we all there? It is said that the Bible holds youth for all men, and it holds maturity for children and youth. It is said that the Bible has medicine for the heartbroken and the bankrupt and the desolate, the Bible. It is said the Bible has hope and life for those who are trembling on the brink of death. The Bible is a book for all men and all women. The Bible has something for every state that you and I may face in life. The Bible. And the Bible is everlasting. Within the Bible itself, we see some of the first attempt to destroy or get rid of God's word. Within the Bible itself. I'm going to ask you, well, let me hold that passage for a few seconds and say this. Any effort, are they within the Bible? Are they outside of the Bible? Is it by Voltaire, the French infidel? Or is it by men and women today? All the effort throughout the ages to destroy the Bible, to wipe the Bible out of existence. All these efforts came from ignorant and foolish men and women who did not know God. No man or woman who has even a little solid idea about God will ever attempt to trifle with God's word, because that is effort in futility. The Bible, the word of God, claim that it is, as I've said, it is perpetual. It is eternal. It is indestructible, and it is everlasting. Should we run to Peter again for this? Should we run to Matthew again for this? Should we run to Revelation for this? Let us run to them, but just wait a few minutes. Let us look or examine a biblical example of a king who thought he could destroy God's word. May I say something that I've said a few minutes ago? That God's truth vested in his word is eternal. Let us run to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 36, verse 1 through verse 4.
And it came to pass, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that the word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel.
You see, this is dealing with verbal inspiration. You see, the Almighty God going to give Jeremiah what Jeremiah ought to write. It is a message. It is a message for the Israelite, that was for Judah and for King Jehoiakim. As we are going to examine, this message from God going to be read to three audiences. Amen. Read on, brother.
Against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations. From the day I spake unto thee, from the day of Josiah, even unto this day.
What verse are you?
The end of verse 2.
Read on.
It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity.
What this means, God is saying that the message I'm giving you, Jeremiah, it may be that those who hear the message will repent. It would be in their best interest if they repent. Read on, brother.
That I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Nera, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book.
That's right.
And Jeremiah commanded.
In most case, that was animal skin. Read.
And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore, go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth.
Read.
The words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day.
You're what verse?
At verse 6.
Okay, stop there, brother. So let us cut it up so that we can get to it. Now, the message going to be read to three different audiences. It's going to be read to the people of Judah and Israel. That is from verse 9 to verse 10. Then it's going to be read to the princes. That is, those who belong to the royal family. That is from verse 11 to verse 19. Then finally it's going to be read to the king from verse 20 to verse 21. Now, brother, let me hear verse 21 and through 24.
So the king sent Jehudai to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber.
Yes.
And Jehudiah read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king.
Wait, you get it here? The message that God gave to Jeremiah, it was read to the people, it's read to the princes, and it's read to the king. Read on, brother.
Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month.
So what we are being told here, it was winter. He was at his winter house. Read on.
And there was a fire on the hearth burning before him.
Because it was winter, there was a fire to warm the house where the king and his attendants were. Read on.
And it came to pass that when Jehudai had read 3 or 4 leaves.
Jehudai was one of the king's attendants. Read, brother.
When he had read 3 or 4 leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the
roll. Wait. It's important that you get this. Here is, should I describe him as an ignorant king? Should I describe him as a foolish king? Should I describe him as an idiotic king? All those words fit him. Because this king ignorantly thought that by cutting God's word, you notice what he did? Because he was in his winter house, when he read God's word or have it read to him, he did not like what it was saying. Are we all there? To this day, men and women believe that because they do not like what the Bible is teaching, is it that there is one true church? Is it that you must be baptized to be saved and that sprinkling is not baptism? Is it that the Sabbath was never given for us today but was given only to the Jews? Is it that we must not pray to any priest or pope? Whatever it is that the Bible teaches that you or I don't like, the only way to address that is bend your life to conform to God's word. Never try to interfere with God's word, because dear, you're making an enemy that you cannot manage, and that is God. So the king didn't like what was being read. He have it cut out, and what he did after,
cut it with a penknife and
I didn't know they know about penknife then. That's right. You know, I thought penknife is a modern thing. Well, the Bible is modern even though it is old. Read, brother.
And cast it into the fire.
Here's a man who thought he could destroy God's word. Read on a little more, brother.
The fire that was on the hearth.
Uh-huh.
Until all the roll was consumed in the fire.
The entire message that God gave to Jeremiah was burnt up. And then the king felt, there it is, I burned up God's word, I destroyed. No, sir, you're foolish. You're only going to multiply God's word. That's right. Because when it comes back to you, it will be more than what you burn up. Read on a little more, brother.
Until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth.
What verse is that?
The end of 23.
Read 24.
Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words.
Wait, that's very important. That sounds as if it is saying nothing to us. Yet they were not afraid. You know what it is implying here? For them to have done the wrong that they did to God's word, not only the king, the advisors of the king by whom he was surrounded, they should be afraid for misusing, abusing God's word like that. Huh? Wait. It is also saying that if they did not participate in that sinful act, they should have said something to the king. So when the inspired writer dropped in that business that they were not afraid. Read it again, brother, please.
Yet they were not afraid.
That is implying that they should be afraid for mishandling and showing disregard for God's word. You don't do that. Read on.
Nor rent their garments.
They should have rent. You see, in those days, the Jewish garment was always usually made with a seam. That means it was easy to tear it, rend it, to show repentant attitude and sorrow and all of that. You know, there's nowhere in the Bible say render your heart and not your garment. Nowhere in the Bible said that. It's the people out of ignorance read, rent your heart and not your garment. And they take it to another extreme. That's where it comes from. Rent your garment. Read, brother.
Neither the king nor any of his servants.
All of them should have responded to this ungodly act of mistreating God's word as something that worth nothing. They should have responded with sorrow and repentant attitude.
Amen.
You're about verse 24 now?
Yes, verse 24. That heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll.
Wait. You know what it does here? It named three people that had the conviction. Huh? And thank God. Brothers and sisters, where you see something going wrong, is it in the church? Something that you know according to God's word it is wrong? Say something about it. That's right. Here are three who felt they should say something to the king. Verse 25, 24 finish.
This is verse 25.
Don't go to 25 because let us step down to 27.
Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. After that, the king had burnt the roll.
Uh-huh.
And the word which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah saying,
uh-huh.
Take thee again another roll.
Wait. You get what's going on here? You notice the word again? Take thee again another roll.
Amen.
Read, brother.
And write in it.
And write in it.
All the former words.
Uh-huh.
That were in the first roll.
The same thing you wrote before, which the king thought he could destroy. That king was an idiotic, foolish king. Because first, even if you destroy the person who wrote it, the human agent, you will have to get to the source of the word.
Amen.
That is God. Are we all there?
Amen.
You have to get to the source of the word. Don't get mad with the messenger. Don't even get mad with the writer. Don't get mad with the speaker. Get mad with God.
Amen.
But that is a giant task. You see? Because you cannot get mad with God and get away with it. So the Almighty God is recommissioning the writing of his word.
Amen.
Quickly, brother, because time is going for this sermon, and since you all put limit on how long a man must preach. Okay, breather. Read on a little more, brother.
Which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah,
uh-huh.
hath burnt.
Uh-huh.
And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah,
uh-huh.
thus saith the Lord.
This is what God says. You, king of Judah, you burned up God's word.
Amen.
That was sent to benefit you and the Israelites. But because you did not like God's message to you, I am here to tell you, God is saying, the same word you burn up is as alive, is as new, is as relevant, is as applicable now as those that you burn up few days ago. Read, brother.
Thus saith the Lord, thou hast burnt this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast.
Well, what God is saying, you know, this is what was in the first roll. That if Israel, Judah, continue in their sinful practice, the king of Babylon going to come and destroy them. The Almighty God is saying, you have not eradicated, you have not changed the consequences of your wrongdoing. It will still come. Read, brother.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to spit upon the throne of David.
You get what we're saying? You get the Almighty God says you will not even have a son
to sit,
or a grandson to sit. That is as posterity to sit upon your throne. Amen. Read that. What verse are you, brother?
Verse 30.
Read.
And his dead body shall be cast out into the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost.
Wait. When you die, your king now enjoying the glory of royalty and kingship, but because of your sin, God going to bring you down so low, your body will be thrown out in the winter for the beast. Read on.
And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity.
You hear that? His very servants. Why? Because they did not restrain the king.
Amen.
What verse is that?
Verse 31.
Read.
And I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not.
May I, brothers and sisters, we wrap up here. There's much more to be said here on this. The fact is, we do not remove the consequences of our disobedience. We do not get forgiveness when we ignore God's method of forgiveness. We do not gain righteousness when we ignore God's only way of making us righteous. Whatever God says, that you or I don't like it, that it does not run down our street, that it's not in keeping with what we may like, that does not change God's message. God's message and the truth in it is eternal. Nothing man does affect God's message. What is noticed that even kings, political leaders, are subject to Jesus Christ's everlasting truth. Kings are subject to it. Political leaders are subject to God's everlasting truth. And they are expected to submit to it and obey it. Whoever we are, no one can treat or do with God's truth as he or she wishes. Nobody. And brothers and sisters, when the truth of God is brought to us, that is the truth of God, don't ever get mad with the messenger. What we didn't have time to read is the fact that Jeremiah had to go and hid himself, and the original scribe, Elishama, had to also hide himself. That is, the king would have killed them. And what the king doesn't know, as men and women today, the source or the agent that God used to bring truth to us is not your enemy. And even when you destroy that agent, that does not excuse you or me from God's truth. God's word is everlasting. We don't have time to look into three passages. One in Revelation, one in Matthew, and the one in Peter. I'm not sure if we will come back to this lesson next week or move on to another lesson on the Bible. Today the lesson is what the Bible claims for itself. It claims that it is perpetual, it is eternal, it is indestructible. The Bible claims that it is everlasting. The wise way to relate to this book is to conform your life to what it teaches. Don't ever hate it. Don't ever try to push it one side. Don't ever try to criticize it. Don't ever try to bring other book that becomes substitute for the Bible. And there are many. Book of Mormon, Catechism, the Quran, but they cannot compete with the Bible, none of them. There's so much about the Bible that could be said. I encourage Christians to love God's word, respect it, study to know it, pray to God for understanding, and you know what? Seek ways to share the truth that you know. If you're here today and if you're not a child of God, if you did not become a Christian the Bible's way, Jesus Christ brought you today to hear this message and encourage you to give your life to Christ the Bible's way. Jesus Christ calls you now as we stand and sing.